Welcome, welcome everyone to the Eurythmenian Chronicles.
Chapter 14, The Wind's Approach.
My friend, I do not know how you managed to send me this message, but I am pleased whatsoever. I have heard about the disturbance in Eurythmen, and I am surprised. How did things go this low in a matter of days? Have they really returned, those kings and queens of yours? For if they really did, we should all prepare for what is to come. Messages between Remy and the Unknown Traveler, Year 19882, Era of the Returned, Kings and Queens.
Layla's initial thought when she saw Mariam's body falling out of thin air with a disturbing thud on the apothecary's floor was, "Damn, that means one less birthday present this year. Jackpot!" And then Layla started screaming. Mariam was blooded all over. Her hands were scratched as if 1,000 knives had cut into her. Her face was flushed and she was panting. Layla called for Beatron for help. The boy ran to her when he heard her screams, and he started cursing in sentences Layla didn't understand. What the hell did a gate have to do with anything? Beatron carried Mariam, and at Layla's unpolite request, using curses from her own world, she managed to have Beatron take Mariam to Barona at Belimrandu's house. She knew Beatron was the equivalent to a doctor, but Barona knew better than him, and she needed someone who understood how to deal with humans. As they ran, Layla thought of all the possible scenarios about what might have happened to Mariam, but she came up with none. There was a lot about this world they didn't know yet, and anything could have happened. Today, Belimrandu would officially teach them how to use their powers. Wind whipped behind Layla, as if pushing her, making her move so fast she almost fell. She was so stretched to do anything now, so she planned to keep pace with Beatron as he ran like a loose horse towards Bill Miranda's house. It has been known that they are supposedly the saviors of this world, and everyone has been treating them like royalty, and at first it was fun and enjoyable to be the center of attention of everything and everyone. But now, she just hated this because it entailed them being in a situation like the one Mariam was in right now. It entailed being followed by the likes of Bear Brown, and it entailed being looked at as if you were the solution for all the problems when you didn't even know what the problem was. Haven't they seen their world? If Belimrandu spent one day in Layla's world, he'll reconsider the notion of having this world as one that needs saving. Plus, this Narnia-like vibe didn't sit well in Layla, because she genuinely didn't like the idea. She was barely responsible for herself, let alone her whole fucking world. Beatron made it to Belimrandu's place and was about to knock on the door when the door opened, and a stunned Yesir stood there as Beatron knocked on, or more like, punched Yesir's nose hard enough that Layla heard the crack of the broken nose from where she stood. "I apologize, sir, but..." Beatron was interrupted by an angry Barona as she yelled at him to take Mariam to the couch inside, and Layla followed. "So, as discussed last class," Yuto said from where he sat, his students sitting in their desks, their undivided attention bestowed on him. He liked it, the notion of him saying anything and they will believe him. "What is ice cream?" Far was the first one to raise his hand as usual, and Yuto smirked. "Not you this time, Far." Yuto juggled the ball he used to throw it at those he wanted to answer and started thinking. Ball, ball, or round ball. Who will you choose? Who will fall? He looked at all of them and he threw the ball at Yumar. Yumar was the daughter of Banner, who worked with Mariam at the grocery store. Her blonde hair was done in a bun and her eyes were piercing shade of blue. And Yuto hated to admit it, that when she looked at him with her intensive gaze, he felt like cringing away. Yumar stood up and held her notes. "Ice cream is a form of dessert humans make out of frozen milk and cream. Usually it has a flavor combined with it. Sometimes it is chocolate and sometimes it's vanilla, but the best ice cream flavor ever is blueberry yogurt, which is Mr. Yuto's favorite flavor." Yuto clapped his hand and grinned. "Highly educating, Yumar." Liaron raised his hand and Yuto nodded at him. "Yes? What is it like, the world you are from? Is it true that it is a world without magic?" Liaron asked, and everyone leaned forward on their chairs as if they were going to hear the most interesting story in their lives. Yuto nodded and sat on his desk, facing the children. He looked around the room, examining the posters on the wall indicating various magical activities the kid did, like freezing water and summoning snowflakes. Other posters displayed the place in Narodoman where they were taught how to use various types of magic. How can he make his world seem cooler? Here, he was teaching them about ice cream in a land where he practically lives in ice. Yoda shrugged. Well, who said my world is one without magic? What is magic anyways? Iroh opened his palm and a snowflake formed, hovering on it. He closed his palm and the snowflake dissipated. This is magic, Mr. Yoda, if you didn't know. Yoda smiled. Iroh's parents looked down at Yoda from being from a world without magic and that he wasn't worthy of teaching their children. Despite Yoda's constant reminder that they were just in a nursery and that what their parents were doing was really bad for the children's future behavior, well, Iroh, if that is magic, then you are not seeing the bigger picture. Magic is when you're sad and down, and when you're feeling blue, and you won't feel like doing anything, but then you meet your friends, and they somehow manage to bring all of the happiness back to you. Magic is when you're alone, but one hug from someone you love can make all the difference to you in the world. Magic isn't all floating snowflakes and instant ice cream. Magic is in everything and every one of us, right here, he patted his heart. Magic can be found anywhere if you know where to look. When Mariam opened her eyes and saw the Vartan chandelier above, her mind wandered off to being dead and was reborn at the last checkpoint. She tried to sit down, but her legs wouldn't function properly. She knew they were there, but she was just too tired to even try and move them. A face loomed above hers, and she slowly registered Barona telling Layla to fetch something she couldn't hear. All the voices were muffled around Mariam, and she suddenly wanted to go to... Mariam stopped her line of thoughts. The last time she wanted to go somewhere, she ended up being yanked into a pinkish place. Mariam didn't know how. But she knew that if she wished to go anywhere, this place would take her there. A place between places. A line that connects all the dots all over Arudaman. She didn't know how, but she knew this pocket in the world quite well. Yet she couldn't find a name to the place. Mariam could register Layla saying something and Barona shouting, and Mariam surrendered back to the darkness. When Mariam opened her eyes again, she was in utter darkness. She blinked multiple times, registering at first that her legs didn't hurt as much as before. She wiggled her toes and she felt them instead of the numbing presence she was experiencing before. She managed to half sit, realizing that she was in a bed, and climbed out of it. She cracked the door open and the smell of Verona's fresh baked bread wafted inside her nostrils, making her stomach grumble. She made it down to the dining room and the girls immediately grabbed her in a hug, almost toppling her over.
Told you, Yoda said. She's alive and well.
Liar, Nadim said from across the table. You said that you called dibs on dissecting her if she turned out to be dead.
Yoda put his hand on his heart.
Nadim, I would never do such thing.
He turned and smiled at Mariam. I would do it to her alive. Hamlet smacked the back of Yuta's head.
No talk of murdering any of us on the table, Yuta. Wait till we're having tea.
Fine, Yuta grumbled and Mariam burst out laughing.
At the other end of the table, Belimrandu looked at them as if he was seeing the group for the first time and said,
You're a weird bunch of people.
We are, the 10 of them said in unison. Scanning the kids, Belimrandu decided that he needed to give them the guidelines of tomorrow's trainings, if they started to manifest their powers. But he needed to know what happened to Mariam first. The moment she disappeared, Banner had ran to Belimrandu, telling him what had happened. Belimrandu suspected that what happened to the girl, but he couldn't explain the bruises on her body. Traveling through the Profermus didn't hurt the traveler like that. Plus, the Profermus would have had her ending up on the ground and not the sky, so she didn't fall through anything.
Mariam, Belimrandu said, interrupting the girl.
She was talking to Berthia, and he could feel his little girl grinning at him for interrupting their talk. If there was a thing Belimrandu feared other than Barona, was his daughter's anger. Would you like to share the day's event with us? Layla glared at Belimrandu. Don't you think it's rather inhumane that you ask her to... Good thing I am not a human, but a Rudomanian. Mariam? Okay, look. Barona turned to Belimrandu, and he cursed inwardly. Was she on his side or theirs?
Your wars and war tense reports will not be tolerated in this house, Belmirando. The girl is clearly back from her first traveling. You need to give her time to readjust.
She turned to Mariam and smiled. Take as much time as you need, my dear.
Mariam slowly nodded and turned to Belmirando.
At first I would think about everything that was happening, when a can of Okam was shot at me, and when I tried to thoroughly test my theory and was attacked by a horde of Okam cans, a Liran can was shot at me. So then I tried to... Well, I read about the role of the Vermother Man, and I heard about the Queen of Earth. So I thought that having fruits and vegetables being thrown at me when I needed them may be an indication that I might be her. Belmirando had to admit that her logic was a passable one. He actually never thought of placing who might be which rules except for Yusuf and Noor, because they were obvious enough. But the others, he never thought of that. Well, their training was to help them tap into their powers and know which power they held, but Belmirando had to have a guess, so he would react to them if someone lashed out. How could he have missed that? He was getting rusty in thinking of and tactics.
So, Mariam went on, pulling Belmirando from his thoughts. I put my hand on the ground and asked to see roses. I thought that this might have roses blooming all around me, but then I was yanked down. Mariam slammed her hand flat on the table. Then I was thrusted up and the world around me turned pink. She made an explosion motion with her hand. I was falling upwards, you guys. Falling upwards. She looked around, her eyes getting wilder that Belmirando was worried that she might climb on the table to give them a demonstration. Belmirando smiled a little, looking at these kids, and for the first time, he thought he saw them as he should have a month ago. A confused group of kids that came from another world, thrusted into this world with magic they didn't even understand. He had tried to teach them about the world, but he had failed to. Teaching them about their rounding perpendicularity, for example, was hard because this is how the world is, and will forever be. But looking at their wide eyes and stunned face as Mariam spoke, Belmirando had realized that he might have been a little too harsh on them in the past month. But between a moment and a second, Mariam's face darkened. When my back hit something solid, I woke up on a bed of roses in the middle of a forest. And then, he appeared. Everyone looked at her as she turned her hand into a fist, then flexed them. He stepped out of darkness. The world where he walked out was dark, as if the world ceased to exist where he stood. And at that, Belmirando leaned forward. Sunlight disappeared where he stood. It was mind-bending. I still can't understand it. Now that's getting interesting. He said that this was his land and I was trespassing. He also shot arrows made of darkness at me. Mariam furrowed her brows. His name? That was the intriguing thing about this whole encounter. His name was a name used in our world. She looked at her friends. His name was Percival.
Percival as in Lord Percival of the Round Table? Zaina asked.
But Belmirando stopped hearing anything as he heard the name. Mariam, she met Percival.
There was only one Percival, for no one dared naming their name after what Percival did.
Belmirando looked at Mariam, his eyes wide at the second revelation. Percival lived in Lasham, the land of the fallen angels.
How the gates did she manage to go there from here without even visiting the place before?
She had never heard of it, as far as he knows. No one ever spoke of this place.
But, Mariam said, smirking, when he attacked me, I put my hands on the ground and asked the ground to protect me, and it shot fists and punched the living hell out of him. She turned to her friends. It was Naruto style, and everyone was amazed by that Naruto.
What is Naruto? Belmirando asked, hating his ignorance.
It is a show that wise people in our world watch, Yusuf said.
The lot of you are considered the wise people of your world?
Belmirando raised a brow.
Yusuf opened his mouth to reply, but Muhammad said, Yes, yes we are.
Belmirando's brows showed up. If they were the wise people of their world, it was a place Belmirando would never want to visit. He turned to Mariam again, stunned by the fact that she met Percival and survived.
Percival, who murdered his uncles with his brother when the gates itself couldn't kill them. If they were aware that their uncle's power were here, in this very room, they might storm in the town and tear it down to pieces so they would put their hands on the ones with the powers. Yet he couldn't stop wondering about how Mariam managed to end up there. Could she be the Queen of Shadows? But that couldn't be. She just said that the Earth had helped her, so she couldn't be associated with the Shadows. But still, how did she manage to get there? That was something Belimrando needed to work on. I remember something else. Mariam looked at Belimrando. His full name. I remember it. Percival Canem Liron, Belimrando finished the name for her. You should count yourself so getting lucky you're still alive, Mariam. His voice had taken a sharp tone that even Berthia and Barona cringed away. But Barona regained her posture quickly and leered at him. I will not tolerate this language in my house, Belimrando. Language? Hamid raised a brow. What's wrong with what he said? Gating is a curse, Nadim said. I heard Banbar saying it today. He explained that it refers to some gate that represents hell in this world. Nadim went on, unaware of Barona's steaming glare. Being called gating idiot, for example, is the equivalent of being called fucking idiot in our world. Fucking idiot, Berthia called Nadim, and Nadim blanched. You shouldn't repeat this word. It's not good for children like you. In our world, a monster eat the children that say these words. Berthia raised a brow. You're from a world without magic, Nadim. You won't lie to me. Plus, there aren't monsters here, so there aren't in your world. She stuck her tongue out. Nadim chuckled and nodded. Fine. No monsters will come for you, but your mother surely will. Did you just refer to me as a monster, Nadim? Barona smiled coolly, and Belimrando knew that Nadim was either going to spend the night outside or he won't be having dinner tomorrow. If I said that I meant that you are a fearless entity that we all should obey, will I be let to live? Nadim managed a smile, but Barona raised her hand and pointed to the stairs. King or not, to your room. Now, and thank the creator I am allowing you to take your dinner with you. Nadim grumbled and Barona smiled. I'm kidding, it wouldn't be dinner without all of you here. Belimrando sipped blue wine from his cup and smiled to himself, just a little. Belimrando had always wanted a big family. He had never had siblings to look after, and now he was blessed with a wife, a daughter, and 10 lost humans who had blissfully fallen into his world right when it needed them most. Barona stuck her tongue out at Nadim. A monster, I am nothing but a beautiful flower. Berthia turned to Muhammad and Yusuf, her eyes gleaming as she whispered something to them, and Muhammad grinned and nodded. He high-fived her, and she grinned back. Yusuf whispered something into Yuta's ear, and Yuta's into Yasser's, and they both smirked, nodding. Barona raised a brow and looked at Belimrando, who shrugged. Yasser whispered into Mariam's ear, and before she could tell Layla what was supposed to be said, Belimrando stopped her. So, how did you manage to escape, Mariam? Mariam looked at him, then at Layla, whispered in her ears, then turned back to Belimrando. I ran into the forest, she continued as if she was speaking all along. He followed me. I think he ran for, well, forever. He kept throwing black axes at me, and when I couldn't take it anymore, I decided that I should try to look for a way back here. So I thought of the house here, and the town, and Layla, and apparently it worked. When she was done, everyone was snickering at something Belimrando didn't know. Yuta yawned and Belimrando raised a brow. Tired already? Yeah, Yuta said, and he was clearly faking the yawn. I'll go to bed. Night. Belimrando looked at his phone and raised a brow. It's the sixth hour of the day. Tired now? But one by one, they left the table, some bidding them goodnight and some just hurrying up to leave. Belimrando rolled his eyes. Since the third week here, and they would do that. On a random night, they would go outside and play football with Berthia. And he was left alone with his wife, as she stared at him and smiled. They're going to play that odd human game of theirs in the backyard, won't they? Belimrando laughed despite the heavy weight on his shoulder. Yes, I think they will. But before they started hearing the laughs in the backyard, Nadim came and hugged Barona, the same way Berthia did when she angered her. He kissed her cheek and said, you're an amazing mother, and I think you're a beautiful flower. You and Belimrando are like our parents in this world. And with that, He left. Belmondo chuckled and held Baruna's hand and kissed it. You're as amazing as the flower that blooms in the harder stones, my love. And why these flowers specifically? She smiled, and he knew that she knew the answer, but he said anyways. Because these flowers are not only beautiful, but they can withstand anything. Just like you, Baruna. The woman who turned around and hit me with her back. Baruna laughed, and Belmondo smiled. He would give his soul, his everything, to protect that woman and his daughter. And those 10 humans who managed to snuggle their way into his life.